there! You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts and OSU Small Farms Program shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I'm your host, Haley White, Small Farms Outreach Coordinator with OSU Extension in Marion and Polk Counties. On this episode, we are talking with Dr. Jennifer Cruikshank, Dairy Management Faculty with OSU Extension. Jennifer works with dairy farmers of all scales and most recently has been working on a research project looking at the effect of wildfire smoke on cattle. Today, Jennifer and I will be talking about her work, the smoke study, and how people with livestock can be prepared. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
Well, to start out, I'd like to get a little bit of background on all of our guests. So how did you get to be involved with dairy management?
So I grew up on a small dairy farm in the Willamette Valley. So I've got that sort of very base lodging of my interest when I was young. And academically, I actually went into genetics because I think it's fantastic. So I'm still actually a geneticist at heart. So 7 years ago, I moved back to Oregon. I took this position with OSU, and that kind of really brought me back to my interest in dairy cattle. And yeah, so more recently, kind of developed this interest in wildfire smoke, because I think kind of in 2020, everyone in Western Oregon developed a greater interest in wildfire smoke. So I had producers contacting me saying, what is this smoke doing to the cows? And I looked in the literature to see what other people had found, and there really wasn't anything. So I was really surprised at that because I kind of thought, well, California has been having a lot of fires. Surely somebody has looked at the effects on cattle, and no one really had. So that certainly spurred some interest into this as, you know, this really unexplored area that has a lot of really pressing questions.
Taking a look at your study, you've mentioned the effects on cows. What effects are you looking at? Are you strictly looking at dairy cows? Tell us a little bit more about how you're researching this.
So I actually kind of, we've got sort of a group, livestock wildfire research group that we put together. So there's myself, and there is Juliana Ranches, who is our beef extension specialist with OSU Extension. And then we've been working with two University of Idaho professors, Amy Skibble and Padram Resamond, who also have a strong interest in the effects of wildfire smoke on cattle. So for the last, almost 2 years now, we've been working together and we've been writing grants and developing research projects. So I'm going to talk a little bit more kind of what we've been sort of working on as a group. So the Idaho folks have been a little bit farther ahead on this. And so they've done some data collection on dairy farms and looked at production levels. So we actually see, so they were looking specifically at dairy cattle, adult dairy cattle. And they observed that there is a decrease in milk production with smoke. And the other, the tricky thing when we've got natural smoke events is that very often in our climate, these smoke events are tied together with high temperatures. And dairy cattle are really unhappy at high temperatures. They experience heat stress at really kind of surprisingly low temperatures, so above around 68 degrees.
Wow.
Like it's much lower than you kind of imagine. And it's just when you, if you're a lactating dairy cow, you are generating a lot of heat. You're eating a lot of feed. So there's a lot of activity of all of the microorganisms in the rumen, in the largest compartment of the stomach. So, just the mechanics of milk production, there's a lot of heat generation. And so, cows are challenged to be able to get rid of that heat, when the weather warms up. So when we have these two things stacked on top of each other, so we've got temperature, and of course high humidity just makes it worse. So, I mean, our cows are better off than Florida cows, for example, who just don't get any relief at all in the summertime. Our cows, when it cools off at night in the summer, do get some relief. So that helps them a lot. But these high temperatures during the day do not. So what we see is they have a decreased appetite with high temperatures. And so we do get a drop in milk production with high temperatures. But what the Idaho researchers found is that when you stacked smoke exposure on top of that, there's an additional drop in milk production. So they're able to go in statistically and separate out the effect of temperature. So they found that we do see decreased milk production with wildfire smoke. And this is the component of wildfire smoke that we're most concerned about is the particulate matter 2.5. So this is little tiny particles in the smoke that are smaller than 2.5 microns. These very tiny particles can actually be inhaled really deeply into the lungs. So larger particles, which are sometimes called PM10, so those particles that are between 2.5 and 10 microns, they kind of lodge higher up in the respiratory tract, so they're more easily expelled by sort of like, you know, the sort of mucus systems that are meant for expelling things that don't belong in our respiratory tracts. And the problem with the 2.5, these very tiny particles, is that they don't get captured in the upper respiratory tract. They can actually be drawn down into like the lungs proper. And so there's some evidence from human studies and from mouse studies that some of those particles may actually be actually crossing over into the bloodstream. So there's a lot of concern about this particulate matter, which is why when we've got wildfire smoke, the advisory is for humans to wear an N95 mask, because that really helps block that the PM2.5. But it's really impractical to put masks on cows.
Yeah, I can imagine. Sure.
Yeah. So that would be great. It'd be really effective, but it's really, really not practical. So part of the thrust of this research is really trying to understand what physiologically is happening to the cows. Like, what are they physiologically experiencing? What is the effect of the wildfire smoke? And again, kind of parenthetically, like the PM2.5, because that is our primary concern. So some of the studies that we have going on now are looking at taking more physiological measurements, so taking blood samples and looking at stress and immune function markers in the blood. And we have found that those are elevated, the stress markers, and some of the immune markers are changed in a not positive way. So we can see, if we're looking at that level, we do see an effect on the animals. Smoke exposure is a stressor. And one of the things when you are keeping livestock is you feed them and you make sure they have water and freedom of movement and, you know, the other necessities, but you're also trying to minimize stressors. So some things can't be helped, like everybody has to go through weaning. So we try to reduce the other stressors around weaning so that that's kind of the only thing that they're dealing with. So the wildfire smoke kind of stacking on top can be bad, as particularly if it's occurring at the same time as we've got high temperatures. So now we've got heat stress, and now we're piling, you know, smoke stress on top of that, which is not good and challenging to combat, because these are environmental factors that we don't have control over.
Wow. Now, another thing I want to talk about is for people who are listening who might have cattle 2 to 200 or even other livestock species. How can people prepare? Like, what have you learned so far in what people can do for their livestock animals at home?
Yeah. And so this really kind of applies pretty across the board. Cattle are particularly susceptible to respiratory ailments because of the way their lung structure is and the volume of air that they're moving. So they're a little bit more susceptible to respiratory disease and irritation that we might see from smoke. But our guidelines really kind of cut across all species of livestock, particularly those that live outdoors or live in any sort of open-sided barn sort of situation, because there's really not a good way to protect them or to prevent the smoke from getting to them. It's sure. ambient. Yeah. It's there. So recommendations are to make sure and that they have fresh, ample supply of fresh water available. And this is true all the time when we have wildfire smoke, because we want to keep the airways. We want to make sure that they are moist, because dry airways are more likely to get irritated. And more irritated airways are more prone to infection, because that's one of the other things is we want to prevent any sort of, bacteria from getting a toehold because we've got an irritated airway, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to for sure make sure there's lots of water so that we can keep all those well hydrated. We want well hydrated animals, particularly when we've got smoke. If we've got heat stacked on top of smoke, which we most often do, we want to sort of double down on our doing what we can to reduce heat stress. So making sure animals have shade throughout the day, making sure that and for our dairy cows, we oftentimes will add additional cooling like fans, sure. Potentially misters or, some sort of like water application. And that can be very helpful. So reducing our heat stress, if we can, is very helpful. We want to minimize how much the animals are moving. So we want to minimize their activity because, as we know as humans, the more active you are, the more you breathe. Like you have a higher rate of respiration.
Right. I go for a run and I'm dying and I'm getting a lot of respirating happening. Sure.
For sure. And the EPA has the same guidelines, right? As you look at their scale, as the air quality index number goes up, they're like, okay, don't exercise outside, limit your mm-hmm. activity. And so we can apply those same principles to livestock. So if livestock are maybe out in a field where they're doing a lot of walking, like maybe the water is like way over here at this one end and they've got this whole pasture so that they're doing a lot of walking to get to the water, maybe bringing them in, if you've got a barn, like bringing them into a barn, giving them closer access to water so they're not doing as much walking, to really try and limit their activity. And definitely this is not the time to be like, I'm going to practice my rodeo skills, right? Sure. Like big no. So really kind of trying to minimize how much activity the animals are doing, because we want to like, don't breathe so much. Mm-hmm. And then the other kind of main thing in kind of talked about this, so it shouldn't come as a surprise, is minimizing other types of stressors. So if you've got some calves and you're like, oh, well, they're due to be weaned, this Friday, and all of a sudden we've got a wildfire smoke event and the air quality is terrible, maybe we push that weaning event off, and maybe the smoke is only going to hang around for a couple of days. We push that weaning back to at least until the air quality improves, maybe a couple days beyond that, to give them a little more recovery time before we introduce this, stressful event of weaning. So that goes for other stressful events, like if you are going to be mixing groups of animals, mm-hmm. because that mixing, that change in sort of social situation is quite stressful for animals. So if we're going to be doing any sort of mixing of groups, again, postpone that until the air quality improves.
Vaccination events.
Vaccination, like if you're going to be running animals through a chute, like anything that they would find otherwise stressful, if you can postpone that to when the air quality is better, that is ideal.
A quick update. If you're just joining us, I'm here with Jennifer Kirkshank, Regional Dairy Management Faculty with OSU Extension, and you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio 88.5 and 100.7 FM and streaming on KMUZ.org. Okay, so Jennifer, I just want to go over this one more time for people with livestock at home. Ways to minimize the stress and the effects of smoke during a wildfire event would include making sure there's access to fresh water, helping with heat tolerance, right? So if you can get them into a shady spot, if you have misters, anything you can do to kind of reduce that heat stress. Reducing their activities. So if they're in a pen, like you mentioned, where they have to travel far to water or to feed, moving them somewhere slowly and carefully where they have less activity.
Yes.
And then minimizing other stressful events such as weaning, vaccination, mixing different groups together, things like that. So those are kind of the key points from what you mentioned that livestock producers can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. That is very good to know, especially with our changing climate and our increased wildfire events that we've had last few years. Now, are there any other resources for livestock producers, people with animals, that would be helpful?
We sure do. So our Livestock and Wildfire Research Group, which is our Oregon-Idaho sort of collaboration, mm-hmm. We do have an online resource, and that can be found at livestockwildfirehub.org. And so Livestock Wildfire Hub, H-U-B, that's all one word, .org. And there you can read up on all of the studies that we have done, that we're in the process of doing, that we're doing in the future, other resources. And this webpage is something that we update regularly. And there are links to our social media there if you want sort of more in your hand updates. So I encourage you, if you've got interest in this area, to check out our online resource.
Wonderful. And can you tell us more about specifically your position? What is your role with OSU Extension? And you mentioned a little bit, but what kind of things do you offer other than the wildfire study to our producers?
Yes. So the wildfire smoke is one of the areas of research, of applied research that I'm active in. I also, with colleagues in the Animal and Rangeland Sciences Department at OSU, have been involved in some studies that are looking at feeding spent hemp biomass to cattle. And spent hemp biomass is what is sort of the leftovers after CBD has been extracted from hemp. So Oregon's got a pretty sizable, relatively speaking, hemp industry, particularly for the extraction of CBD. And we get this, vegetative byproduct that is actually quite nutritious. It has a really good nutritional profile. And the problem at the moment is that the FDA says you can't feed hemp to any food producing animals.
Okay.
Because we don't have enough information about maybe some cannabinoids can come through in the milk or the eggs or the meat. We don't have enough information.
Sure.
So I've been involved in a couple projects, and one actually going on right now, where we are experimentally feeding spent hemp biomass to cattle, and then actually measuring those things. So do we see cannabinoids in the milk? What is the health of the animal? How do they compare to animals who are being fed a standard diet? So it's very interesting work, and I'm kind of hopeful, because one of the things that a lot of folks don't realize is that dairy cattle, livestock to some degree, but dairy cattle in particular, actually eat a lot of byproduct feeds. So byproducts that are coming out of the human food chain, or sort of, extracting X for human use first, and then we've got this byproduct that holds a lot of nutrition for animals. And so this also gives a really good use for that byproduct feed, where otherwise it might be composted, which is the case with the spent hemp biomass at the moment, is most of it is just composted. So it'd be nice to have sort of a higher use for that byproduct. So that's been some work that I'm working on. I'm also really interested in heat stress and what are the effects on cows. So at the OSU dairy, our cows all have an internal bolus that records their body temperature along with their activity and also their water consumption.
Wow.
And our newer boluses are also also measuring rumination. So rumination is when cows are chewing their cud. And good, healthy, feeling good cows, they're chewing their cuds really often. And so this kind of gives us a nice way to sort of track that activity, which is good for indicating the health of the animal. And so the software that goes with these boluses is kind of great because it'll kind of pop up alerts if somebody's rumination level is too low or their temperature is going up. So it kind of gives us a heads up that she's not feeling well. So we can kind of, you know, pull her aside and take a closer look and see what's going on. But I'm interested, so the health management aspect is great, but I'm a little more interested in what can we draw from this information in sort of a data, you know, taking the data and looking at it for how does heat affect body temperature? And then also, how does the smoke affect their body temperature? So again, kind of disentangling the heat from the smoke can be a little bit challenging. But so that's one of the other areas that I'm interested in. And probably one of the other ones is calf health. So we've done some workshops and reproduction. We do offer calving schools every so often in different parts of the state. So that's really helpful for producers. I really enjoy doing that. And so doing those kinds of outreach programs, educational programs, and then just fielding questions that come my way. Interacting with our dairy producers, which is always really great.
Wonderful. Sounds like you're doing great work, and those are some fascinating research projects.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to change it up just a little bit, give you a fun question. I mean, all of it has been really fun, but more of a silly question here. What is your favorite dairy product? What's your favorite kind of indulgent way to consume dairy?
I should always be prepared for this because this question actually comes up and it gets discussed a lot actually amongst dairy folks more than you would imagine. Mm-hmm. And it's really tough because like on any given day, I'd just be like, oh man, cheese. It might be cheese. I'd have a hard time. I'd have a hard time going without cheese. But, you know, you catch me at another moment and I'd just be like, oh, it's sour cream for sure.
Sure. So, do you have a favorite kind of cheese?
I'm a little partial to Gruyere. I also very fond of a really nice, sharp cheddar.
Interesting. Personally, I'm a mint chocolate chip ice cream fan. Cheese.
Hard to go wrong with mint chocolate chip ice cream. That is one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah. Okay, and for our last question that we ask all of our guests here at Conservation Spotlight, what is one change you would encourage people to make in relation to your work?
So one thing that I always hope folks do when I interact with them, particularly if they are not familiar with dairy farming and they, you know, visit a farm, you know, or they've asked a question and I'm able to explain something for them, is that if they can take that, you know, now firsthand knowledge and to share that with other people.
I like that. That's a wonderful way to share what you learn, share those positive experiences you've had, because you don't know what other people have experienced or know about that particular subject.
Yeah.
So, well, wonderful. Thank you so much for being here, Jennifer. I really, really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be a guest on the show.
My pleasure.
I've been talking with Jennifer Cruikshank, Regional Dairy Management Faculty with OSU Extension, and I'm your host, Haley White, Small Farms Outreach Coordinator with OSU Extension in Marion and Polk Counties. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We are grateful for our community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on this topic, please visit our website, extension.oregonstate.edu, for more information. And if you liked what you heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesdays during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening, and we will talk soon.